Thank you so much for tuning in to Let's Talk, the official podcast of the National Runaway Safe Line, or NRS. At NRS, we operate the federally designated national communication system for youth who have run away, are experiencing homelessness, or who may be considering leaving home. For over 50 years, we've provided crisis support and resources for young people, families, and communities across the nation. Today is the very last day of National Runaway Prevention Month 2023, as well as the last episode of Season 5. Throughout the month, NRS has hosted events in Chicago, Atlanta, and Dallas, and at our Dallas event, we connected with this incredible organization called Cafe Momentum, which you'll learn about shortly since our guest today is a member of their executive leadership team. Margaret, whenever you're ready, first of all, welcome to the podcast, but could you please introduce yourself?
My name is Margaret Windham. I am the executive director of Cafe Momentum in Dallas. My pronouns are she, her, and hers.
Now, the concept of Cafe Momentum to me sounds really cool. I've never been to Dallas, and I don't think that I have any plans on being there anytime soon. I know my team will be there during National Runaway Prevention Month this month. But can you tell me the whole mission and concept of Cafe Momentum for anyone who's not aware?
Absolutely. And lucky for you, we are expanding. We have a expansion team that is planning to open 30 Cafe Momentums. But Cafe Momentum is a nonprofit restaurant in downtown Dallas, and we work with justice-involved youth age 15 to 19. We offer employment opportunities, case management, mental health, and education as part of a 12-month curriculum for young men and women that have been involved in the juvenile justice system.
How did this all come to be? Like, who came up with this idea, and what was it like kind of getting the organization off the ground?
Our founder is Chad Hauser. And in 2008, Chad is a chef by trade. He was part owner in a really popular restaurant in Dallas. And in 2008, he was on the Dallas Farmers Market Board, and he was volunteered to teach 8 young men in juvenile detention how to make ice cream. And as Chad would tell this story, he went into that experience with many of the stereotypes that people have about our young people, that they don't want to learn, that they have caused trouble, don't want to listen to anyone, don't want to listen to authority, don't want to learn. And Chad is the first person that says he was totally wrong. He walked into that experience, and those 8 young men called him sir and were so eager to learn how to make ice cream. The competition was with culinary students. So these 8 young men went to this competition after learning with Chad. And one of those young men actually won that entire competition, beating out all of the culinary students. And he was so excited that he ran up to Chad and, you know, threw his arms in the air and said, "Sir, when I get out of jail, I just want to make food and put a smile on people's face. He said, I'm going to get a job at Wendy's or Chili's. What do you recommend?" And he said, "Whatever organization hires you first, and second, whoever pays better." And Chad walked away from that experience knowing that he would never see that young man again. And the likelihood that he would never make it to a Wendy's or Chili's, because he would come out of detention and go right back into the exact same situation, the exact same lack of resources, the exact same housing, the exact same neighborhood that got him in trouble in the first place. So the Juvenile Justice Center often refers to our young people as throwaways. And we find that particularly offensive because these are our children that live in our community that deserve just as much as any other youth in our community deserves. And it was really the catalyst for creating Cafe Momentum. Chad sat with that for a while, wondering, you know, why isn't anyone doing anything for these young people? And then turned it back around and said, why aren't I doing anything? If I expect someone else to do it, why can't I do it? So he dedicated his time and energy to doing a series of pop-up dinners. Over the next 3.5 years, he did 41 pop-up dinners around Dallas in a restaurant that was typically closed on a Sunday night. He would bus in 8 young men from juvenile detention. They would train for the day and then serve in that restaurant for the evening at the caliber of the restaurant. And because we believe that our young people can and will rise to whatever level of expectation is set for them. They just need the opportunity and the resources and the confidence to do so. So after those 41 pop-up dinners, we opened our brick and mortar location, Cafe Momentum, in downtown Dallas on January 29th. 2015. Since that day, we have served over 1,000, probably over 1,100 youth at this point. Working through the program, they are required to be back in high school working towards their GED or their high school diploma. We realized early on that high schools were and schools were really one of the first institutions that told our kids they were bad and kicked them out. So in listening to what our kids needed, we opened Cafe Momentum Academy. So many of our youth do go to school with us here at Cafe Momentum. So they go to school in the morning and they come into work in the afternoon. Our intent was to really to get them to graduate from high school, but also to increase our hours of influence so that they had a place to go, a place to be, and a place to feel safe and secure and fed and with a roof over their head most of the hours of the day. The other components of our organization are obviously the restaurant component, which is workforce development. And our young people are learning everything in the restaurant from front of house to back of house and everything in between. So when you come in to dine here, your experience is really getting to know these young people. And the intent of the pop-ups early on was to really break those stereotypes. And it worked on both sides. It told our young people that they do matter in this community and people do care about them. And it showed mm-hmm. the community how important these young people are and that they're living in our backyard too. And we need to make sure that taken care of. Another component is mental health. Most of our kids score pretty highly on the adverse childhood trauma experience survey. I would argue that everyone can benefit from therapy, but our young people have seen tragedy and circumstances that really are hard to fathom. And we really think that helping them overcome those challenges and moving forward from them will help them be successful. And then the final component is case management. So each of our young people have a case manager that is assigned to them that supports them in really all of their needs outside of school and workforce development. Does home visits with their family, goes with them to doctor's visits, we provide financial literacy, helps them open a bank account, really parenting classes, sex ed, really anything, any opportunity and education that we can provide our young people, we do. And that often is listening to them and knowing what they want to experience and what they want to learn about.
Just listening to you talk this in, I can tell you really understand like what's at stake here, if I can, because even pointing out the fact that so many places use the term like throwaway youth when talking about young people. It's so offensive. I mean, even we had that when I first started at the organization, had conversations about like why we shouldn't be using that type of language and things like that. Is it correct to assume that you have a background working with youth who have experienced these type of crises in the past?
Well, I've been with Cafe Momentum for almost 8 years. Prior to that, I was involved in the nonprofit world and in Dallas, but really as a fundraiser, which is why I joined Cafe Momentum 8 years ago, was to help Chad raise money to keep the program alive. Over those 8 years, I've gone from chief development officer to chief operating officer to now executive director, as Chad is kind of, he's still here. He will always be our founder, but he's really focusing on opening more Cafe Momentums, because our ultimate goal is to affect a system that is clearly broken. Not just in Dallas, but it's broken here too, but all over this country, of locking young people up and throwing away the key. Not only is a huge taxpayer burden, but most importantly, these are young lives that deserve love, support, resources, opportunity. And these young people deserve to dream just like everybody else. I personally fell in love with these kids. They actually catered my wedding reception before I worked here. I knew Chad. I met Chad while he was fundraising, and I immediately fell in love with, him and his vision and the program. And so when I got married, we had Cafe Momentum cater it, because it was such a special, it had become such a special part of my husband and I's world. And then I came to work here. And I think of these kids as an extension of my family. I have often tried to take them home with me to just, you just want to put them in a bubble. They're just like my own child. I want to take care of these kids. But I know that that's not what they need from me. They need from me is to be a part of their journey, to walk beside them, to advocate for them until they're able to advocate for themselves.
Yeah, that's incredible, honestly. I mean, I know you guys have a location in Nashville and you're talking about like getting your wedding catered. I'm like, maybe I need to stop and pick up a pie on the way to my family's Thanksgiving, because just the cause alone is so amazing. I can't imagine the positive effect that you guys have on like your neighbors and the people that are really close to you in your community. Do you find that they also tend to support different causes that you guys engage in?
100%. When you come to Cafe Momentum, it's impossible not to walk out with a different feeling. And with like, mm-hmm. We often say, little cliche things like a full belly and a full heart. We do make great food and our kids are doing that also. But more than anything, they're inspiring to spend time with. And you want so much for them. It's Cafe Momentum is, as a fundraiser, it's so easy to fundraise for, because you can come into a restaurant and meet the young life that you're affecting. Those young people can feel that. So the fact that people come into our restaurant and want to meet them and want to hear from them tells them that they do matter. They are a part of this community and they are loved and they are deserving.
Yeah. I noticed on your website that you guys list a pretty extensive list of partners and mm-hmm. partnerships. How do you go about securing like local sponsorships, and why are the partnerships so important? I know that's like a totally obvious low hanging fruit question, but you would be surprised at how many people like need to hear what you're about to say.
I agree with you. And partnerships for us takes on a number of different meanings. We have partners in the resources and opportunities that we offer our young people, which is most important. And also something I'm really proud of that we've done, because we realize that we can't be everything to our young people. We do what we do best. We provide workforce development, we provide education, we provide case management, we provide mental health. But there are a lot of things that we don't do as well as other organizations in Dallas. So I'm really mm-hmm. proud of the fact that we've found partners that are doing the great work here, like financial literacy, like housing, like parenting classes, like sex education. Other nonprofits that are doing great work that can bring those resources to our young people. So I think those partnerships are paramount to the success of our young people, that they know those opportunities and resources exist. Partnerships in terms of financial partnerships, we are 100% funded by the community. A third of our operating budget is paid for by earned revenue through the restaurant and our catering, but the rest of it we fundraise for. And I'm very proud to say we don't take government funding, that the city of Dallas funds Cafe Momentum because they believe that it is so important to take care of the young people in our community. So they make sure that we are able to keep our doors open and continue. So those kind of partnerships are through private donations, foundations, corporate gifts, anonymous gifts, in-kind gifts. We have a lot of amazing partners in Dallas, and we're lucky to be in a very charitable and generous community. And I feel like once you open your eyes to what these young people need, you can't help but want to fill the bucket.
Yeah. You guys also do list a bunch of like corporate donors. Can you talk about how important it is for like your community members to see other businesses participating in these causes? Or do you think that has an impact on how people themselves are going to be willing to engage if they see more than one business
absolutely
participating?
It's a ripple effect. One corporation adds another stamp of approval to what we're doing. But most importantly, many of those corporate partners also offer jobs to our young people after they leave Cafe Momentum. At the end of their internship program, we do what we call an externship for our young people. So we've worked with them for the course of 12 months or so to determine what their aptitudes are, what do they enjoy doing, where do they really thrive, and what do they want to do next. So we work with many of our corporate partners to find the next role for them. So they'll work during the last part of their internship, part of the time at Cafe Momentum, and part of their time at their future employer, to kind of ease that transition from the family that they've come to love and feel supported by and comfortable within Cafe Momentum to their next role. And we work with that corporation to ease that transition so that we all have open communication about what's going on and what our young people need.
So the the externship component is just kind of like the continuation of the internship, correct?
Well, sort of. It's the externship is really could it be at any future employer. So some of our young people are interested in continuing hospitality or culinary, but some of our young people, they want to go work at a retail store or a call center, or they want to go be in, a lot of our young ladies have gone into cosmetology. So we figure out what they want to do next, but we do work with that employer to ease that transition.
Gotcha. How do you guys determine when you're like, as you're looking at ideal places to build more stores or build more brick and mortar locations, how do you decide which locations get priority?
Well, there's an entire expansion team that works on that. We have another nonprofit called Momentum Advisory Collective who oversees that expansion. And we go in and do a lot of market research to determine what the need is. And arguably every community has a need for this kind of organization and support, because every community has young people that have been discarded and that deserve a chance and deserve to dream. But there's a lot that goes into it. The fundraising obviously is huge because it has to be backed by the community, and the community has to support it for it to be sustainable long term. It kind of a foodie market is important because we are food. So we're a fine dining restaurant because we believe that, again, our kids can and will rise to whatever level of expectation is set for them. They're not, you know, they're not slinging hamburgers and hot dogs. They're making, we call our cuisine casual fine dining. They're searing a steak to perfection. They're making scallops exactly the way that they should be made. And they're doing things that I could never dream of doing in the kitchen. So it's also about the food, because that's really, the restaurant is the vehicle in which we get people to come into the restaurant, spend time with our young people, and begin to break those stereotypes and raise awareness.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of stereotypes, is there anything that you find surprising about your work, especially because you've been doing it now for 7 years? That is, like, I think enough time for you to really, like, understand who you are in this world. So is there anything that you find surprising working with, especially young people who come in and do this internship, especially 7 years later?
I really think that I've, who I am as a person, who I am as a mother, I've become a mother since working here, has really, these kids have changed me, and made me a better version of myself. A more open person, probably a more aware person, in a number of ways, that more aware in what I want my daughter to experience and what I want her to see in the world. And just how important it is to look outside of your own bubble and your own station to know what is around you. I think that I've always had that in me, but these young people have really made me open my eyes bigger. And I often say that, you know, I get to come here every day and be a small part of a journey that these young people are on, and their resilience and their ability to thrive and reach for their dreams is so overwhelming. I can't imagine ever being anywhere else, because I get so much from just personally, intrinsically, from being a part, just a small part of that journey with them.
Are there any like stereotypes you hear out in your community or misconceptions that you think, like, I'm not really asking that question the correct way for a podcast. Is there anything that you could say to people listening that kind of is a response to those type of misconceptions you hear out in the community?
I think that's a big question. When you spend a little bit of time outside of your what's right in front of you and have an open mind to other worlds and other walks of life and other communities, and get to know some of those people, and especially our young people, I would challenge anyone to have a conversation with one of these young people and not fall in love with them. And not think this could be my kid. And he made a mistake and he should not be defined by that for the rest of his life. And then think about your own mistakes, and would you like to be defined by those for the rest of your life?
You guys have like volunteers at Volunteer at Cafe Momentum, correct?
Yes, it's we have volunteers. We have a lot of people that volunteer to be tutors in our classroom. All of our young people that are going to school with us have an assigned tutor to help them with their schoolwork. We also have really anyone that comes into the restaurant, we look at as a volunteer, because our young people need people in the restaurant to serve, to cook for, to welcome. But they're practicing everything they're learning, life skills, social skills, and culinary skills. They're practicing everything they're learning on those that come and dine in the restaurant. So I often refer to all of our guests as volunteers, because without people dining here, they wouldn't have people to practice on, but they wouldn't have the ability to look someone in the eye and have a conversation and build their confidence, which is so important and also so amazing to watch happen.
Do you have any words of encouragement or advice for people who are constantly like, oh, I want to find different ways to volunteer that work for me? Just keeping in mind that like your founder and the mission is all built around someone taking their own talents and skills and finding a way to make that work for the community. I feel like I asked that question in the most roundabout way.
Well, I get what you're saying, and it's a good question. I would say come out of your comfort zone and listen to those around you and really look for the needs in your community, and try to help. Try to find your purpose. We talk a lot about purpose, and I feel like this is mine. This is my higher purpose in life, and this is what I'm meant to do. I'm not a social worker. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a chef, but I can create an organization and a support system to allow our staff that are skilled in those areas to deliver all of these services to our young people. So I can be a part of their life in a way that I can use my own skills. And I think that's what I'm meant to do. And I think that we all are challenged with finding what is your higher purpose and what are you meant to do and how are you going to leave this world a better place than you came into it.
Oh, wow. That was like literally the perfect ending. I've heard that twice this year. I went to a conference in Louisville and someone won an award and she was like, I had to accept the fact that the work that I do is a calling. It's not something that's for everybody. And I have to like let that inform my hiring practice and all of that stuff. So I really appreciate, that's the whole point of this podcast. I'm like the one person in my organization who doesn't have like a social work background or hasn't worked directly with runaway or homeless youth. But I like to be able to ask people questions from my perspective in hopes that people who listen will then understand what is really going on here, like what the work really is and what it means to be able to get involved. It doesn't mean that you have to completely change everything about yourself or your ideals or your ethics. It just means that you have to lean into it. Like you said, come out of your comfort zone. I am 100% on board with you.
And finding the place where you come from, that you can be a difference and that you can give. Mm-hmm. And my skill set allows me to give in the ways that I do. But it allows me to know that I'm just a small fraction of it. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, selfishly in some ways, it feels amazing to be a part of it. I don't think our young people know how much I get internally from just being around them. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing, but I think we talk a lot about, you know, what is your calling and what is your passion? Because if this isn't your passion, it's just really hard work, because it is 24 hours a day. I go to sleep thinking about a young person and what his struggle might be, his or her struggle in that moment. I wake up thinking about it. I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about our kids. And if it's not really a passion and a calling for you, then it's not the right place to be, because you have to put in the love, the sweat, the tears, and celebrate the successes, but you also have to mourn the losses, which is hard, but it makes successes all that more sweet.
Absolutely. 100%. I want to leave the space. Are there any other questions that I didn't ask that you want to ask? Or like, and my thing is like, when I do interviews like these, I'm always like, these are the questions that I think people need to hear, even though they wouldn't think to ask them. Is there anything like that you'd like to add?
Just for perspective wise, more than half of the young people that come into our program are homeless. More than half of the young people that come into our program have already dropped out of high school. 100% of the young people in our program are now on a path to graduation. We find housing for those that are homeless if we know, and if they allow us to know that. But now 30% of our young people are now going on to college, when most of them are the first to graduate from high school in their family and never thought that would be a reality. So the small things that many people might take for granted are a huge accomplishment for young people that have no support to get there. And I think those things are worth celebrating. And I would just encourage all your listeners to come to Cafe Momentum, to explore their neighborhoods. But if they are in one that has a Cafe Momentum, go experience these young people for yourself, because it will change your heart and it will change your mind.
Thank you so much, Margaret. I can't wait to get the opportunity to visit and support one of the future locations of Cafe Momentum. You can find out about Cafe Momentum, their future locations, and how to support them by visiting their website. A link to their website is available in the bio for this episode. I also want to take the opportunity to thank each and every person who supported National Runaway Prevention Month, whether it was by wearing green, spreading awareness on social media, getting buildings and monuments lit up in green, securing proclamations in their community, or by simply listening to this podcast to learn from community and program leaders and youth with lived experience. Your support makes all the difference in the world, and I'm proud to say that this has been one of the most impactful NRPMs to date. There's also still time to register as an official partner. Visit 1800runaway.org/NRPM to learn more. Thanks again, and I'll see you next season.